I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be your, what I wanted to be. I thought I could build, yeah, our life sink and sand, but I can't even walk, Lord, without you holding my hand. Listen. I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be all what I wanted to be. I thought I could build, yeah, our life sink and sand, but I can't even walk, Lord, without you holding my hand. Oh, I can't, Lord, without you, yes, sir. Oh, you see the mountain, oh, Lord. And the valley's just you while you're here. Oh, I'm down on my knees. Oh, and I learned to stand. But you see, Lord, without you, church, I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it. Oh, alone. I thought of myself, yeah, as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk, Lord, without you holding my hand. Oh, I can't, Lord, without you, yes, sir, oh, Lord. And oh, you see the mountain, oh Lord, and the valley's just you while you're here. Oh, I'm down on my knees. Oh yeah, and I learned to stand, but you see I. No, I can't even walk, Lord. And I tried so many times before. Oh, and I'm down on my knees. And I need you, Lord. right now, Father. Hold my hand. Oh, yeah. Yeah, without you in my hand.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can't do nothing without you. Hey, go ahead and praise. Ain't nothing wrong with giving God some praise. If you know that's your testimony, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. He shouldn't be the only one jumping up, shouting, thanking God on this morning, because none of us can walk unless the Lord holds our hand. We didn't get up on our own this morning. We didn't wake up close to our right mind on our own. God did it all.
But I'm going to stay right here, Lord. Hold my hand. I'm so glad. Oh, I, without you holding my hand.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, thank you now for an opportunity to preach your word once again. And use me as you will for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to say a couple of things before I go into the message. One, I was told that the class of 79 is here, so we want to recognize and welcome them for coming and worshiping with us on this morning as well. The class of 1979. And also, just want to let you all know that, amen, there they are. Julianne is here. She was on her way to church, and her nose started to bleed, and she got here, and it was still bleeding, but we, you know, we looked there, checked her out. Chicole, I was going to call you, but from where you were sitting, I didn't want to make a big disturbance, but thank God Miss Gertie was in place where she always is. And so she went back there and took her blood pressure. Blood pressure's fine, and her nose has stopped bleeding. So that's had my attention for about the last 15, 20 minutes, but y'all can understand that. But God is good. God is good, so she's here. She's fine, thank the Lord Jesus. So it's only right that as the pastor, I have at least one sermon on this month that is kind of focused towards our senior saints and senior citizens. And I said to Gloria this month, I said, Gloria, I haven't completely lost my mind. I know I need to preach one message that is for our seniors. And thank God it happens to be on our Communion Sunday. So now those of you, we define seniors around here, those who are 70 and above. Those of you who are 69 and younger, you listen too. Because if you pay close attention, this sermon will bless you too now. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the book of Job in the Old Testament. Chapter 42, verses 10, 11, and the first part of verse 12, so I'm going to call that 12a. Job, ushers, you all may be seated. Thank you. I don't say this enough. Let's give the Lord a hand for our ushers. Amen. Amen. They're so on time. Job 42, verses 10, 11, and then I'm just going to read one little part of 12, so I'm going to call that 12a. This is what it says. I'm reading this from those who may have something different from the New International Version. Let me make sure I'm going to read it from that one first, if that's going to say exactly what I want to say. Yep, that's fine. All right, so verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Verse 11. All of Job's brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before is referring to before his great sickness. Everyone, his brothers and sisters, and everyone had known him before, they came and they ate with him in his house. These people comforted and consoled Job over all the trouble, listen to this, the Lord had brought upon him. And each one of those folks gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. Verse 12, the first part of verse 12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. Let me read that from the King James, verse 12, that first part. This is what it says in the King James. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Amen. That's where we're going to focus on this morning, verse 12a. Just for a few minutes, let us reason together from this thought. Blessed in your latter days. Blessed in your latter, L-A-T-T-E-R, in your latter days. I grew up spending time with senior citizens. When I was a little boy, most of the people that I spent time with before I was old enough to go to school were, you know, senior citizens, 70, 65, 70 and up. And I remember most seniors in my community living to be at least 80 to 85 years old. That was the norm. Folks were going to live to be 80, 85. That was the starting point. And a lot of seniors back in my day lived to be 90 and more. But times have changed. In today's world, with all the stress of daily life, and the bad chemicals and preservatives that are in our foods, and the crime and the chronic health problems and the loneliness and the depression that's part of daily living, it's becoming more and more rare for people to live to be 80 or over. Amen? And if you think I'm exaggerating, just go on the Carolina, the Roanoke Rapids spin, or the paper, and look in the obituaries, and look at the ages of the folks listed there. You see somebody there that's 70 and older, that's the exception. Most folk are well under 80 years old. But I want to know that there's one thing that was true back then, and it's still true today, and here it is. Jehovah God has control over our lives. Amen now. And I know people say, well, yeah, y'all preachers say that all the time. We say it because it's true. We're just trying to get you to believe it's true, because we know it's true. Jehovah God has control over our lives. It's God who decides how many days we live. And it's God who decides how good or bad our lives will be. Listen now, mostly based on the choices we make. Yeah, see, because God has a permissive will. And in his permissive will, if you want to mess up, he'll let you mess up. Yeah, if you want to mess up, if you want to be foolish about how you spend your life, God will let you do that. But he still has control. If you are a child of the Most High God, I want you to understand this morning, my senior saints and senior citizens, he can bless you in your latter days. Job's story proves that God can make our latter days our best days. If you already know Job's story, please be patient while I kind of summarize it for folks who don't. So here it is. According to the Bible, God was proud of Job. God said Job was blameless. He was upright. He feared God. That means he revered and he worshiped God. And the Bible says he abstained from evil. That means Job didn't intentionally go out and sin like I've done and like some of us have done. He didn't intentionally go out and sin. That's what God said about Job. Job had a wife. He had 10 children. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had servants, and he had lots of land and lots of livestock. He had oxen and donkeys and sheep and camels. Job was very, very, very rich back in his day. Back in Job's day, he would have been a multimillionaire. In chapters 1 and 2 of the book called Job, God and the devil have two conversations about Job. That's right. God and the devil had two conversations about Job. The devil told God, he said, the only reason why Job worships you is because you blessed him so good. But if you stop protecting Job, if you stop blessing him, I'll make him curse you to your face. God trusted Job's character. So he gave the devil permission to do whatever he wanted, except he couldn't kill Job. I wonder if God can trust us like that. I wonder if there's any one of us God can say right now to anybody else in heaven, I trust her. I can let her go through some things. I can let him have some bad experiences, and I know he will still give me praise. Amen. Let me keep moving. The devil does this then. First, the devil kills Job's children, kills them now, kills them all. He kills or takes away his livestock, all of it. And then he inflicts Job with a horrible disease that brings huge, painful boils all over his body. At one point, Job was so bad off. At one point, y'all, Job's wife looked at him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Amen. Now, all that began, and let me just summarize what happens between chapter 3 and chapter 42. I told you that God trusted Job's character. Now, let me tell you why. Job didn't know that God was using him to prove a point to the devil. He didn't know that. All he knew was that he was under spiritual attack. Sometimes, y'all, some of that stuff we call bad luck, we're under spiritual attack. There is really such a thing now. Now, some stuff we bring on ourselves, but sometimes God will let you go through some stuff. I'm not saying God put you in it. I'm saying he'll let the devil do some things to test you, right? To strengthen you. Amen. Amen. So that's what happened. Job questioned God, but through it all, Job never blamed God. And I want to say that to us, too. Don't blame God for our problems. Don't blame God. Uh-uh. God does not make you have problems to see if you're going to be more holy. Like I said, he may allow you to go through some stuff, but God doesn't put stuff on you. Amen. Amen. Now, life can put stuff on you. Folks can put stuff on you. We bring a whole lot of stuff on ourselves. But God does not put stuff on us just to see how much we can take, right? That's not what God did. And Job never blamed God. I know that's right, because in Job 1, 21 and 22, Job says, and this is from the New American Standard, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb." Amen. "And naked I shall return." Job said, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And it said, through all of this, all that stuff that he went through, he did not blame God. When we're in trouble, we need to praise God. Amen. We need to praise God. Here's something else about Job's character that all of us as Christians need. Job never lost faith in God. In Job 14, verse 14, Job chapter 14, verse number 14, he says, "If a man dies, will he live again?" And then he said this, he said, "All the days of my struggle," he said, "all of the time that I got to go through whatever I go through," he said, "I will wait until my change comes." Job had confidence that one day, whether it was in this life or in the life to come, God would vindicate him and he would make things right. If you keep on reading Job, you'll learn that during his trials and tribulations, three of his friends came to sit with him. They said God was punishing him for hidden sin. Job's friends were wrong. Later on, Job himself talks with God. He and God have a conversation. And Job asked God to explain himself. And God did explain himself. Amen. That's another blessing. When you have a relationship with Jesus, you can talk to God. You can ask God why. Some people say, you know, we're not supposed to question God. Where you get that from? That's not in the Bible. You show me the scripture in the Bible that says we can't question God. Job questioned God. Abraham questioned God. A lot of folks question God. God doesn't mind us questioning him because he knows we don't understand. Amen. He doesn't get mad when we question him. So Job asked God to explain himself, and God did. I'm so glad God is patient with us. Then after God finishes explaining himself, Job apologizes to God for questioning him. Then God deals with Job's friends. God is angry with Job's friends for misrepresenting him, but God is merciful. He says, if you all will make me a burnt offering sacrifice. In other words, go get some of your oxen. Go get some of your sheep. Kill them and then burn them up. And if you can get Job to pray for you, he says, I'll forgive you. That's what he told those three friends. And in verse number 42 and 10, which is where we start our lesson today, Job prays for his friends and then his change comes. God made Job prosperous again. He gave Job twice as much livestock and land as he had before the devil attacked him. The Bible tells us in verse number 11, his family and friends gave Job silver and gold. The Bible tells us that Job, with that same wife, the same one that told him to curse God and die, with that same wife, Job and his wife had 10 new children. They had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. Job's sons and daughters gave him great, great, great grandchildren. Amen. And then in verse 12, part A, the Bible says, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. Now, just for your reference and to put this into context, many Bible scholars, and I did some research on this, many Bible scholars believe Job's troubles, this trouble period in his life, began when he was around about 70 years old. And they estimate that maybe it went on for about another 70 years, and it ended when he was about 140. But guess what? Job lived to be 210 years old. So even after the trouble that he went through, the Lord gave Job 70 years of prosperity and 70 years of good health. Senior saints, I want you to be encouraged today by Job's story. Amen. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what you may be going through right now. God can make these your latter days be your best days. Some of our senior saints know about trouble. Amen. You may not have gone through what Job went through, but a lot of y'all been through something. Let me say this. If you're 80 plus years old living in America, God bless you anyway. Because you've seen some things. You've been through some things. You might have been a little child, but you remember what your mama and daddy and your grandparents and them folks, you remember the mess they went through. Amen. But some kind of way, people were praying for you. And God blessed you and he kept you. So senior saints, you know about trouble. Some of y'all are experiencing sickness or you have been sick. Some of you all have had financial problems. Maybe you're having some financial troubles right now. Some of you all have lost a child. Amen. Some of you all have worried to death about a child or a grandchild right now that's not saved. Could be a niece or a nephew. Some of you have lost your spouse. And at times you're lonely. And any of those situations is enough to make you want to give up on life. Amen. Can't none of us look at any of y'all and say, well, I don't know why they acting like that. I know you don't know because it ain't you. You don't know what you would do until, I just laugh at folk when I hear them say, I would never do that. I don't know why. I would know you a lie. You a lie. I'm not going to give you benefit of calling you a liar. You just a lie. You don't know what you would do if you don't have to go through it. Have some grace and mercy for folks that have been through something. Even if they didn't go through it the way we think they should have. But you weren't in their shoes. To God be the glory. Any of those things is enough to make you just throw up your hands and give up on life. But senior saints, I'm begging you today, don't give up. When the burdens of your life have worn you down, I'm not asking you to throw up your hands and give up. I'm asking you to throw up your hands and give God some praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't bring me this far to leave me. To God be the glory. I know it might not make sense, but you know what? A whole lot of stuff with God don't make sense. Am I right, Daryl? A whole lot of stuff with God doesn't make sense. Not in the way I understand stuff. But it doesn't have to make sense to me. All I have to do is be willing to do what God said do. Give him some praise anyway. Amen. It might not make sense, but I'm a living witness that it will work. senior saints and senior citizens, God loves you. He will never leave you, and he will never forget about you. We say forsake. He won't forget about you. Don't let the devil or anybody else make you doubt God. You know that song, "You Can't Make Me Doubt Him"? Because I know too much about you. If you're a Christian, you've been walking with the Lord, I don't care if it's been for 5 minutes, you ought to know enough about him to know by now. He is who he says he is. He will do what he said he will do if we do our part. What's my part? Trust him and obey him. Trust him, have faith in his word, and do my best to be obedient to his word. Amen. Don't let anybody fool you. God will bless you in your latter days. You may be waiting for your change to come, but while you're waiting, I want you to remember just two quick things, and I'm going to get out your way. Two things. Number one, God is greater than your troubles. Senior saints, while you're waiting for your change to come, you remember that. God is greater than your troubles. How do you know that, preacher? Because David was a man that knew a whole lot about trouble. And David wrote the 37th Psalm. And one of them verses, or one of the part of that Psalm we'll call 25, David said, "I have been young, but now I am old." Now, wait a minute. Now, here's the part we skip over. We say, "But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Go back to the "never have I seen the righteous forsaken." David's saying, in my old age, I can look back over my life, and there's never been a time when God didn't do what he could do to help the righteous. See, the righteous, who is that? Those who have given their lives to Jesus, those who trust and obey him, those who have a made up mind that they want to live holy. God knows we're not perfect, but if we take one step, it ain't in the Bible, but it is true. If we take one step, he will take two. He'll walk with us as we're trying to live holy. David's saying, there's never been a time in my life where I haven't seen God come through for the saints of God. And not only that, not only did God bless the ones that were righteous, David said he even blessed their seed. He blessed the children too. Now that's something extra. Young folk, some of y'all need to go home this afternoon, tell your mamas, your grandmamas, your big mamas, your aunties, all them folk, y'all need to tell them thank you. Because some of y'all have life in your bodies and you not jacked up somewhere right now because of somebody else's prayer. Because you just out there doing everything you can do. And I know about it because I did all I could do too, till I couldn't do no more, until the Lord said, "Stop being a fool, boy." You better tell somebody thank you. Because David said somebody else's prayers is why you getting blessed. Yeah, you got a house now, but who helped you pay for it? You got a car now, but who paying the insurance? Yeah, you got a good job, but who gave you a connection with somebody to help you get that good job? More than likely, it was somebody older that knew you or knew your parents or knew somebody in your family, and they were just trying and willing to help you out. That's God. That's God's favor on you that's coming from somebody that's a saint of God. To God be the glory. Amen. So that's the first thing. While you're waiting for your change to come, remember, God's goodness is greater than your trouble. Number two, and this is the second one, the last one. Praising God. I said give God praise when you're in trouble, right? Praising God brings peace, hope, and victory. Praising God brings peace of mind. It gives you hope, and eventually it's going to give you victory. Amen. How do I know that? Another Psalm, 34, and the first, second, and third verses of those, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. I don't care whether I'm up or whether I'm down, whether I feel good or whether I feel like I'm ready to leave here. I'ma still bless him. I'ma still tell him, thank you, Lord." Listen, God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. Nighttime, morning time, noontime, summertime, wintertime, fall time, all the time, I'm gonna continuously give God praise. Listen, "My soul shall make its boast in the Lord." That's the peace of mind. Because your soul won't make a boast in somebody you don't believe in.
When you are at a point where you can boast about somebody, that means you're at peace. Because why? Because you got confidence. I know what I'm talking about. Whatever I'm asking for, I know it's going to happen. So that's the peace of it. Okay, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. Then listen to this. The humble will hear it and rejoice. That's the hope. That's the hope. The humble will hear me and they will rejoice. They'll hear me boasting about the Lord and they will rejoice. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. What he did for DeVito, he'll do for Miss Diane. And what he did for Miss Diane, he'll do for Gloria. And what he did for Gloria, he'll do for Sonny. And what he did for Sonny, he'll do for anybody else. So that's the hope part. I'm hoping when the humble hear it, they will hear it and they will rejoice. Why? Because they have the hope. And then he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt him together. Now, that's still praising him. That's still giving God praise. Now, here's the victory. Listen, after I've praised the Lord and I've got hope in him, I've got peace of mind, I've got hope in him. Now, here's the victory. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Amen. That's it. I sought the Lord. I called out to God. And what did he do? He answered my prayer. That's the victory. Whatever it was, I was needing him to do. It didn't go into any explanation. David didn't tell exactly what it was. He said, I sought the Lord. I cried out, and he did what? He answered. If God answered you, you got the victory. You got a problem when you call God and he don't answer. Yeah, when God won't answer you, you got a problem. But when you call out to God, Jehovah God, if you call out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he answers you, that's your victory. And to make it even clearer, what did David say after that? He said, and he delivered me from all my fears. That's the victory. I sought the Lord. He answered me. And he delivered me from all of my fears. That's the victory. So number two again, praising God brings peace of mind, brings hope and victory. Amen. To all the saints, those of you who are already saved, whatever your age may be, and anybody else, no matter what age you are, 70 or younger, all the saints of God, everybody in here who's saved today, in these last and evil days that we're living in, I encourage you to keep praying to God. Pray for yourself and praying others. Keep praising God. Praise him in good times. Praise him in bad times. Keep trusting God. Put your faith in God's promises. Keep obeying God. Live holy. How do I live holy? Do what the Bible says. That's how you live holy. Do what the Bible says. Some of us think living holy is really, really hard. No, it's not. Not really. We're not with God's help. Because when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. So he's going to help you. All you have to do and all I have to do is make up a mind I want to do it. Because there's a whole lot of stuff we say yes to, we can just as easily say no to. We just don't say no. Amen. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about Edwin first. Whole lot of stuff. All I got to do is just say no. All I got to do is turn the TV. All I got to do is turn the radio station. All I got to do is put down the book or magazine. All I got to do is block that number that's calling, and I know I don't need to have this conversation with that. That's all I got to do, but I got to make up my mind that I want to do it. So we can live holy. Amen. Amen. So keep living holy. And if you do these things, no matter what your age is, you will be blessed in your latter days. Now, let me say this real quickly to those of us who are under 70, 69 and younger. Here are four ways that we can be a blessing to our senior saints and senior citizens. If you're 69 and older and younger, these are four ways we can be a blessing to our senior saints and our senior citizens. Just remember, I preached a sermon a couple of years ago called You Might Be Old One Day. So don't sit there and be smug now. You young and pretty today, but it ain't got to stay that way. And matter of fact, if you're old and pretty and you're jacked up spiritually, you're still in trouble. I had a whole lot of good-looking old folk and just as jacked up as they can be spiritually. Spiritually. Here are four things those of us who are 69 and younger can do to be a blessing to the saints, the senior citizens, senior saints. Number one, be patient and friendly with seniors. Be patient and be friendly with seniors. Don't you know that somebody, when you were a little child, couldn't do to yours for yourself? There was somebody in your life that was patient and friendly with you. May not even been somebody in your family, but somebody along the way, because God's got saints everywhere. Somebody along the way was patient and friendly with you. So number one, be patient and friendly with seniors. Number two, speak to seniors with respect and with manners. Everybody can say yes and no, but that what you say, no. Not to a senior person. Speak with respect and manners. Watch your tone of voice that you use when you're talking to seniors. I don't care how irritated you get with them. Watch your tone of voice. Don't you know God gets irritated with us sometime too? Amen now. Come on, let's be for real. Number three, give seniors time and assistance. Give seniors time and assistance as you can. We understand we all got busy schedules, but when you can, give somebody that's a senior time and assistance. And number four, visit seniors at nursing homes or visit them at home if they're shut in. But those are four ways that those of us who are 69 and younger, those are four ways we can be a blessing to senior citizens. Number one, be patient and friendly with them. Number two, speak to them with respect and manners. Number three, give them time and assistance. And number four, go visit them. Go visit them in nursing homes, if they're at home, wherever they're, go visit them. The Bible says we will reap what we sow. So in other words, whatever we give out in life, that's what we're going to get back eventually. You're going to get it back eventually. We have an opportunity to engage with a senior saint or a senior citizen. Remember, God is watching. And even if that senior citizen is not nice to you, God will bless you in your latter days for being nice to them. Amen. Based on God's word, I'll close with this. If you're a senior citizen, but you're not saved, God is willing to bless you in these latter days. What you have to do is you have to be willing to give your life to Jesus Christ. In other words, you have to be willing to ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. And on the very day that you accept Jesus, he will begin to make positive changes in your life. Now, he may not take away your problem overnight, but on the very day that you say, Lord Jesus, I humble myself, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior, you're going to begin to see some changes, some positive changes on that very day. Now, that's if you're a senior citizen and you're not saved. Amen. Amen. If you are a senior citizen and you are saved, in other words, you are a senior saint, you're blessed in your latter days. Amen. You may not understand it, but you are blessed. Let me tell you some of the ways that you're blessed. God has blessed you with courage like Moses. God has blessed you with wisdom like Solomon. God has blessed you with strength like Caleb. And God has blessed you with joy like Sarah, the wife of Abraham. She had great joy because God honored the promise of the son Isaac. God has blessed you like Job because he's brought you from a mighty, mighty long way. Amen. Wave your hand if you're 70 or older and you can say, and you're not ashamed to say, I can look back over my life and I know God has brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. To God be the glory. And one day, in these latter days, amen, DeVito, I'm getting ready to get home. God will call you to come to your heavenly home. Jesus will give you a heavenly reward. No more heartache. No more physical pain. No more sadness. No more depression. No more sins of this world. I hope all the senior saints are looking forward to the day when you can hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Call you by your name. You went through some things, but you kept on praising. Well done. You had to walk away from some people, but you walked away in faith. Well done. And come on into glory. And you can tell Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you for going on Calvary's cross. Thank you for letting them nail you to that cross. Thank you for letting them pierce you in your side. Thank you, Lord, for letting them put you in the borrowed tomb. thank you, Lord, for going down into hell and taking the keys from the devil and setting the captives in hell free. Thank you, Lord, for coming back and waiting. Thank you, Lord, for on that third day, you got up with all power entrusted in your hand. And you've used that power to bless me. You've used that power to help me. You've used that power to heal me. You've used that power to make me prosperous. You've used that power to give me influence. You've used that power to protect me from my enemies. If you like me, you've used that power to protect me from myself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. These are your best days. They can be. They can be. You do two things. Praise the Lord. Right now, in whatever situation you're going through. I know it's human nature. I understand. It's human nature to feel sorry for ourselves, and I don't say that disrespectfully. I don't say that disrespectfully. It's human nature to feel depressed. It's human nature to feel like some kind of way God's not being fair to you. But all I'm begging you to do today is just for 2-3 minutes, put all that you're feeling in your flesh out your mind and just open your mouth and say, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise, because God is greater than your troubles. God is greater than your troubles. And number two, as I said again, when you praise him, he'll give you peace of mind even while you're going through. He'll give you hope and encouragement even while you're going through. And one day soon, based on his word and based on the testimony of some of these folks right here I've talked to over the years that I've been here, and based on my own testimony, God will give you the victory. He's going to give you the victory, but we got to be willing to be patient, and we got to keep saying thank you, Lord, and giving him praise no matter what. Come on, give God some glory.